ParaX Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, ParaX.
Everyone, and thank you for listening to a special episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the writer, the producer, and the host of this show. Tonight, we have a special guest with us, Mr. Alan Wright, who, like his great-grandmother, grandmother, and mother, have been able to sense and receive messages from those who have passed on in life. At an early age, Mr. Wright had no idea why he felt a little different than his peers in school and could not quite understand some of his abilities. However, that was until his grandfather passed over in the early 80s, and he was able to make contact with him through what we call astral projection. His experience in visiting him was much more than a dream vision. His ability brought him to a place that appeared beautiful and perfect. As Mr. Wright aged, his abilities to sense and be contacted by the deceased started to get a little bit stronger. And being a passive medium, what he could not do was just call up a spirit at a moment's notice. Usually those who had the strongest ability came through to present messages. I will share a story with you as Mr. Wright and I get to the specific interview question later on to validate how I definitely understand how that can happen. Mr. Wright has also had the ability to heal and has several books out on Amazon sharing his and other perspectives and experiences about life after death issues. In just a moment, we will meet Mr. Alan Wright. Now, before we begin our interview with Alan, let me share with you that Maynard and Mildred, a comedy involving two young kids, has now just launched on Amazon and can be purchased directly through me as well on my website. This dynamic duo has been waiting 2 years to make their big debut worldwide, putting together a combined illustrated book and audio CD featuring 22 of their best segments, as always heard on my show.
Oopsie!
How rude!
I'm Maynard.
And I'm Mildred. And we are
the Maynard and Mildred Show!
She's a ghost.
No, I'm not. You just can't see me. I'm invisible.
She gets me in trouble all the time.
I could follow you, Maynard, to the end of the universe.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Enjoy the show!
This illustrated book CD is suitable for young and adult audiences alike. To order directly from my website, go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com, and once you click onto that site, you will hear their jingle and it will play. Scroll down to where you see the book CD combination. Write me if you have questions, and of course, write to krschutz1@yahoo.com. And thank you everyone for who has enjoyed their efforts. They have truly, truly appreciated your support. Now, let's get back to our featured guest tonight, Mr. Alan Wright. Well, Alan, the audience and I are anxious to hear about your insights and experiences being a passive medium. This will be a very interesting interview tonight, and one that will allow us to expand our minds further with our own thoughts about life after death issues. So, Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, Alan, where might you be Skyping from this evening?
I live in Utah.
Utah. Ooh, I have been there just a couple of times. Beautiful countryside. And so now that we're getting into this interesting weather pattern here, what's the weather like right now where you're at?
It's really good now. It's about 60 degrees out. We had a snowstorm just about 3 days ago, but the snow's melted down. It's really nice out.
So where you're at, do you get lots of snow or do you just get a covering of snow?
Mainly just a covering of snow. Between 2 to 4 inches is the most we get.
Oh, I'd love that. Boy, I'm sure people that get a little bit more like the volumes of snow, such as my home state of Minnesota and also some of these other upper Midwest states, lots and lots and lots of it. So I don't forget about this, especially if we run out of time at the end. Why don't we go ahead and mention it now? Did you say you had a few books out on Amazon, and what are some of the titles of your books, and do you have a website that they might also go to, Alan? What might they might be? So.
Okay, my website is koalawidget.com. simplesight.com.
Can you spell that for us?
I'm sorry?
Can you spell that for us?
Yes. All lowercase letters is KOALAWEDGIT dot simplesight, SIMPLESITE dot com.
Okay, good. Thank you for that information. What are some of the books that you currently have out on Amazon? Do you have I think you just published a recent one. What are a couple of your books?
My first book is Through the Veil and Back. My second book is At the Edge of Eternity. My third book is Roads Less Carried. Less Traveled. And my fourth book is My Destination for the Truth.
Those sound really good. So just in case you guys are wanting to write some of that information down, here's how you can go about getting that information again. And the best way is through this interview because it is pre-recorded. So you would go to two places, all right? You can go, if you're listening on Para-X Radio Network, go, and you're on your computer, go up to the top of the screen, and you're going to see a link called Show Archives. Click on that. Scroll down to where you see Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Click on that. The minute you do that, it's going to bring you directly into my website. And on that website, which it's free to sign up and subscribe, you can download this interview that we're having tonight. And you can go back here to the first, 6-7 minutes from the start, and you'll be able to get the information to go to get Mr. Wright's books from Amazon, as well as visiting his website. Another thing you could do, if you're directly on my website in Podomatic, is you can go to www.krschutz1, that's KRSCHUTZ1, Paranormal Encounters, and that's all one word, KRSchutz Paranormal Encounters, .podomatic, PODOMATIC, .com. And the minute you go there to that site, you will see the interview with Mr. Wright at the top of all my other segments that I have downloaded. Downloading is free. Please do so and enjoy. All right, Alan, let's get going here. So let's start out with our first question. So I thought it might be a good place to start with you telling us a little bit about when you discovered you had the ability to understand or receive messages from those who have passed over.
I was a little bit older at the time. When I was a little kid, I had dreams and things like that, but I thought everybody had those dreams. I didn't realize I was receiving messages from spirits until I was older. I can receive, I'll start thinking about a name, say a name of a person I used to go to school with, and it keeps coming to me. And most of the time I'll try to search that name out, and I'll find out that that person has died or for some reason wants to contact me or whatever. But that's pretty much how it started. But now it's getting stronger. I'm 69 years old. I'm going to be 70 next week, and I'm on the backside. I'm 69 next week.
Oh my goodness. Is that what happens, Alan, when we get to this age? Okay, great.
My wife had to correct me. But I'm on the backside of life now, and you know, I didn't want to be thought crazy when I was younger and stuff, but I'm on the backside now, and I don't care what people think of me. I, I know what I see. I know what, you know, I feel. I know what's happening, and it's all the truth. And I feel it's about time that I let people know my stories and my experiences. But anyway, that's pretty much, I was probably in my late 20s when I found out that I could actually communicate with the spirits a little bit.
So I have a question for you about that. So when they come to you, and a lot of times people will always ask, so how do you know, you know, who's exactly around you or how they come to you? Everybody has sometimes a different antenna. Those that are very sensitive, they would say, well, like, for example, for me, I know that when I talk with apparitions or spirits around me, I use my K2, and I also use a different type of a message system that validates that, you know, if they can say that whatever's happening around me is, you know, what they see and what's being experienced, then I know that I've got a direct hit. How do you know, Alan, that there's a spirit around you? Do you have any kind of sensory that you, does your nose twitch? I mean, what makes you know that something is around you?
Well, my wife and I are both sensitives. We're both empaths. With me, we have spirits around both of us. They're around us all the time. We can feel them. There are times, though, that if a spirit wants something, it's usually the strongest spirit that gets through this. I like to compare it to a basketball game. The guy that's got the ball, which would be me, is surrounded by players who wants to get to me, but it's usually the fastest, strongest player that can get to the ball and make the shot. And that's pretty much the way it is with me. It's the strongest spirit can come through and let me know what they want or whatever.
That's interesting. Let's go back in time just a moment, and then I'm going to revisit the strongest apparition thing that you just said a minute ago, because I've got a story to actually validate that. Let's go back to when your grandfather passed away, and it was about, you said it was about a year or so later when you're able to visit him by astral projection. Could you explain, first of all, to our audience what astral projection is, and then what did you see?
Astral projection is when the spirit leaves the body and goes to a different place, but the body keeps living. Like with me, I can go to sleep at night, and my spirit can leave my body and go to someplace else. And the time that you're talking about is when I went to talk to my grandfather or go see him, and he had been dead for about a year. And this place that I went to is a place that I called at the time paradise.
And when you say paradise, can you describe what paradise looked like to you?
Paradise was a lot like this earth. It had grass and pastures. It had a forest. It had animals, birds, insects. The colors of the flowers are brilliant. Everything in this place is perfect. The weather's perfect. I did not remember seeing any nighttime at all. It was always light. The people there can communicate telepathically. When I saw my grandfather, we expressed our love for each other telepathically. I had a feeling that I could talk, but I didn't have to. Anyway, it's a beautiful place, and I never wanted to leave.
You know, one of the things that was going through my head just a second ago And I'm going to ambush you with this question here, Alan. So, so right now, okay, so there's a number. I'm going to do this from the celebrity standpoint because I was just reading another medium's biography about the ability to communicate with celebrities. So, okay, so someone passes away and we hope, generally speaking, everyone goes to a place that looks beautiful and peaceful. And, of course, the question that many people have is whether or not they will ever revisit certain relatives. What if they want to visit a celebrity that they've never met in their, you know, their human lifetime? Is that even possible, or are there restrictions on the ability for people to just go see anybody they want to when they're in a passed over state of being? What's your thoughts about that, Alan?
Well, I've never visited any celebrities in this life, and I never went and saw any celebrities in astral projection. So, being a sensitive, I'm not able to call out the spirits, or the passive medium, I'm not able to call out the spirits. They come to me, and so far I've never had any actors or singers or celebrities come to me wanting to tell me anything. Well, most generally it's a family member or a friend.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting take on all this, because sometimes I also wonder, too, people are like, well, what if I don't want to see my aunt, you know, Ethel, or, you know, my uncle Fred, because in life they made me so mad, or I just didn't like the way they acted towards people, or whatnot. Is it possible to actually want to have, I know that you say that people come to you as a medium. I'm just wondering, with your experiencing, when you're experienced going to the place that most would call heaven, if your experience got to the point where you were able to answer that question as to what if you didn't want to see somebody that you really didn't like while they were living. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think those spirits ever came to me. If I didn't like a spirit in this, or a person in this life, when they died, I never had an experience of them coming to me in spirit form. So when I went to see my grandfather, when I came to in this pasture, I was surrounded by a circle of people, and those people were all my friends and relatives. And I had a feeling that I knew them all, but I never had a feeling that I had any hatred or dislike for any of them. Mm-hmm. So to answer that question, I never had an experience where anybody tried to contact me that had any negative feelings, except for one time. And that's when I went to the place that I called hell.
Tell us a little bit about that, and then I'm going to ask you, we're going to go back then to this question about some of the stronger apparitions getting through. So, I think many Christians might believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. Did you just indicate that you have actually visited or been in a place that most would perceive to be hell? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Christmas before last, Christmas week before last, it was just before Christmas, I went to bed. I had another astral projection where I went to this place that later I called hell. It was a very dark place. It had nothing but feelings of dread and hatred and fear and doubt, all the negative emotions that you would not want is in this place. And it's in the air, you could hardly breathe. And it's very dark, I could barely see my hands in front of my face. I was on this pathway that was made of gravel, I think. But as I walked down this path, off to the left were buildings, like apartment buildings, but there was no lights in them. And off to the right was the same way, and no lights in that building either. And as I kept walking, I came to like a corner of this one building, and there was a spirit back there, and he wanted me to come closer to him. I did walk a little bit closer to him over to the edge of the path, but he wanted me to come closer. And at that time, I told him, no, I wasn't coming any closer at all. I realized that this spirit who had called me was a spirit that I had dealings with in this life when he was alive in this earthly life. And I told him I wasn't going to come any closer to me. I was kind of fearful in this place because I realized that there was some spirits behind me. I called them shadow people because I could not see their faces or anything, and they were dark, but they were behind me, and I didn't know what they were going to do to me. But anyway, this spirit, in the course of the conversation, I realized that he had murdered someone in this life, this physical life, and that he was afraid that the person that he had murdered was in the place where he was at there, and he was trying to hide out from him. I also got the sense that he wanted me to help him, that he wanted me to help his situation in some way. I guess he thought that I could do that because I used to go over to his house when he was living to give his wife blessings. She had a mental condition where she had really bad headaches. And she'd call me and I'd go over to her house and give her blessings. And that would ease the pain where she could function and do her everyday things. He didn't like me, and he made it known that he didn't like me. I guess he thought I was a crackpot or something, and he would open the door for me, but after that, he'd go in the bedroom or the kitchen or someplace. But here he was asking for my help now, and there was nothing I could do for him now, and I told him that. And he wanted me to come closer, and I said, no, I wasn't. I wasn't going to come any closer. And about at this time, the projection ended, and I came back, and I was in my bed. But this is another dream that stayed with me. Being in the light and being with my grandfather in this place was like standing before God. I came back, and I felt like I was glowing. Now, this other one that I had, going to this place I called hell, I came back with just the opposite feelings. I had the same feelings that I had when I was there, and that was fear and dread and hatred, and I was angry. I snapped at my wife and everything. I realized that I had carried those things back with me. From this place. It was not a good place, and you would not want to be there.
Interesting. I want to revisit this in a second. I want to jump back, and then I want to jump back again here. So let's talk a little bit about, like when we were talking before about the strongest apparitions getting through. Excuse me. And one of the questions that I can validate this. I had a reading a long time ago with the famous psychic twins, and my mission during my reading was to discover and figure out the names of the little girl and the man who showed to me that I photographed in a screened window in my grandparents/great-grandparents' home. And they had, during that reading, it was very interesting. I was just, all I was after were their names. And just out of nowhere, one of them, because they operate as kind of like a conduit. They have each other as the, you know, the ability to be able to feed off of each other, just like you and your wife, by the way. And one of them had said to me that my grandmother on my mother's side was coming through, but it was her brother that actually was able to come through for her. And it always baffled me a little bit as to why spirits aren't always strong enough to come through on their own. So that's my question I'm going to ask you about. He spoke on behalf of my maternal grandmother, but why do you think some spirits can get through or are stronger than others? Alan, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think a spirit that gets through has the most energy at the time. Now, that doesn't mean next time you'll have the same amount of energy. It takes a great deal of energy for them to come through to make their desires or thoughts known, you know. And it has to do with the importance of the message, I think, too. If somebody comes through, it's because they have something that they feel is very important, and they are probably using almost every drop of energy that they have to come through to give you that message. And that's probably the answer to your question.
Yeah. One of the things that you've noticed, and I've obviously have experienced, we both experienced, I have found myself over the years somehow moving into haunted houses. Now, that doesn't mean that the house was haunted at the point that I moved in, or maybe I'm just bringing these entities here from around me. For example, when I moved into one of our homes, there is actually a field, and there used to be a family farm back in the Civil War days. And I had no idea when I moved into this house that back in the day, husband went crazy and killed his wife and kids on this property, which is probably, you know, just right out my front door. And then I started to experience, I don't know, right off the bat when I moved into this house, all kinds of weird things were kind of happening, or, you know, whatnot. And so I put two and two together, and it just so happens that when I had my fireplace person over, they validated that there was actually a haunted property across the way, that they had to take the house down because they couldn't keep renters in it because so much crazy stuff was happening. So I can't say for sure that, you know, I'm hoping that I'm in the process of moving back to my home state. The home that we selected does not appear to be haunted, but I will be curious in knowing if I have dragged something in there with me. Now, Alan, did you say that you had or used to or live in a haunted house? And if so, how do you, and these spirits are always coming to you, what are some of your happenings that you experience with this?
In my third book, Roads Less Traveled, I write about this. My wife and I moved into this house. It was an older house, and I found through experience that an older house will probably be haunted. It's most likely to be residual recordings and stuff, you know, from people that's lived there before. But anyway, we moved into this house. It was about 70 years old. And my wife began to see shadows moving in the hallway at night. And she told me that they were going into the walls back and forth in this hallway. At first, I didn't give it, you know, a whole bunch of thought and everything. It just didn't bother me at the time, as long as they weren't bothering us, you know. But I started having dreams, I'd be sleeping at night, and I'd be in a sound sleep, and all of a sudden this thing would rush up to me and just scream at the top of its lungs in my ear, and it would wake me up out of a sound sleep. And this thing would do this two or three times a night. And I called it a banshee because it was a female, and she looked older than the hills, very old. She had skinny, spindly arms. She had really long, skinny fingers with nails, and she was skinny. She had a skinny face with a long, skinny nose, and she was as ugly as ugly could get. But anyway, this would happen two or three times a night. Then, like you said, I didn't know the house was haunted. And when we first moved in, things were okay. And it wasn't until we stayed there for a while that things started happening. We had these flies. I came home one day from work, and there was flies in the dining room and the living room area. And they were these really fat, juicy, disgusting flies. And we have three dogs, and I didn't want to use poison to kill them. So I started killing them with a fly swatter. And it would take me about an hour every day when I came home from work to kill all these flies. And I knew then I was dealing with something that was evil. So anyway, I had a friend come over, and him and I blessed the house. And we blessed it, and we got rid of everything but the shadow people that was in the hallway. But they weren't bothering us so much, so we really didn't care. And we moved out of the house right after that. But you have to be kind of careful when you're buying an older house. And the best thing would probably be, I don't know, maybe have a medium come in and see what spirits are in the house, and maybe give up the house a blessing before you even move in, if that's possible. But with us, we lucked out because we got rid of the evil entity that was in there, and we also got rid of the banshee. The only thing that was left was those shadow people. Mm. Yeah, I've had experience. We live in a house right now that has one or two spirits in it. They shut off our lights to the back porch, the front porch, or they will turn them on. The other night, my wife said, "I know I turned off the light in the kitchen, but it's on again." And I told her, I said, "Well, I didn't want to tell you this, but it happened to me the other night, too." So we have a spirit in here right now, but it's not mean. It's just doing, you know, things to
irritate us,
I guess.
Like pranks. Well, you know, the house that we're in, usually when I'm away and I'm on a trip, like to my home state or whatnot, I call them the kids, and it might not even be kids, but I think it's the kids. They like to prank my husband, and so they've done everything from turn on all of the fire alarms at the same time when there's no fire in here, make a bunch of ruckus and noise. Another thing that they've done is one time they hid my purse pouch underneath a chair. And the only way we discovered it under the chair was that I had like a blanket hanging over the seat of it, and we just saw barely the string of the purse hanging out. And one time when my husband, and I always tell him this, do not tease the apparitions that may or may not be in this house, because they will get their little pranky revenge on you. And one time, this was the most interesting. There are a lot of things that have happened in here that are interesting, but the one time that shows you their level of destruction is he was grabbing for a fruit cup, you know, the ones that have the plastic over them, you know, these little fruit cups, and he, you know, packed it for work, went to work, and the thing had this was not a natural break or anything like that, in case anyone is asking about that. They literally, because he teased the apparitions the day before and, you know, never say bring it on, please. But the thing is they cut a slice in it. So when he picked up the fruit cup from inside his bag, it was completely cut and sliced at the top, and his everything, the juice and everything ran out and all that. And you might think, well, maybe it was just an accident. No, it was no accident. Lots of little things were, have happened in this house, especially to him. We even have a ghost cat running around in this house once in a while, crawled all over his legs once in bed at night. Of course, I wasn't here, but I have had that happen to me in a haunted bed and breakfast over in Europe. It was a dog, actually, that was crawling on the bed, if you don't think that's scary. But yes, I can identify with some of the things that they're pranking you with, because they like to play with your mind. And one moment you think, well, I shut that off, or I shut that door, or I did this or that or whatever. And next thing you know, it's on. But people usually think, oh, you're just going crazy, it's your imagination, blah, blah, blah. One of the things that happened to us too here, the TV came on in the middle of the night, and someone would probably say, oh, that was just some kind of an odd power surge. No, it wasn't a power surge. And they like to hang out on my side of the bed too, because once in a while I get the strongest energy over there. But it's fascinating. Alan, have you found that if you just kind of just peacefully kind of like just live in harmony with them, that they'll pretty much leave you alone? Do you find that?
Yeah, our policy is if they leave us alone, we leave them alone.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
well, I feel like this house, it was owned by probably several people before we moved in.
Right.
I know of at least one person dying in the house.
Oh.
Before we moved in. So, yeah, you just leave them alone. They leave you alone. Unless it's some kind of demon or evil entity or something like that.
Yeah. Yes and yes to all of that. Yes. What are your thoughts on, let's move to an interesting question. What are your thoughts about reincarnation? I know that you and I have talked a little bit about that. And, you know, what do you feel about reincarnation? People usually think that when they die, not, you know, if someone dies, that maybe they're given a choice to come back or not. What are your thoughts about that?
I know a lot of people believe in it, but I'm not one of them. I believe in a pre-existence. You know, this life we have, this spirit that's in our body, is an energy. And scientists will even tell you that that energy cannot be destroyed. So when you die, you keep moving on. You can change energy, you know, to one thing or another, but you can't destroy it. So if it's everlasting or forever, that means it never had a beginning either. So I believe in a pre-existence, and our spirits moved into this body. But once they've had this body, that's the only body they need. And when we die, the spirit moves on to whatever realm that it's dedicated to at that time. And it would be, to me, it wasn't logical for the spirit to die and then come back into another body and then come back into another body. What's the purpose of that? I just can't comprehend that.
I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to give it a different twist on that. Okay, so just to give the listeners just a little heads up here. So Alan and I had a conversation just before the show began regarding my father, who passed away a couple years ago, and one of the questions that I asked Alan about, which I had never heard of before, but I wanted you to just kind of talk a little bit about it, was, so at the point of my father passing, My brother was standing out in the waiting room where there was an elderly man slumped over in his wheelchair. And it was obvious he couldn't lift himself, but he was just, you know, he was slumped over. And so when my dad passed, it was very odd because my brother was standing by a door or window, and essentially this man, elderly man, lifted himself up, started smiling, and started waving at my brother. And of course, my brother was very puzzled by seeing this, who wouldn't be startled, but it was at the exact time that my dad had died. So, Alan, you had mentioned the word jumping. Could you kind of take it from here a little bit and explain that to the audience a little bit about that? And then if there's anything else that you can add to this regarding what might happen per se when a person passes away, their spirit.
Well, I thought about it a little bit more too after we were talking before the show, and I told you that ghost hunters a lot of times they run into situations where spirits are jumping into physical bodies that's already possessed by a spirit, and the ghost hunters call that jumping, and it usually is not a good thing, but they can jump into your body, and they can stay there for a while. It's not a permanent situation, though. But also, I believe there's, like that gentleman that was in the wheelchair, perhaps maybe he wasn't waving at your brother, as much as he was waving at you, the spirit of your father. And I think maybe the spirit of your father was standing next to your brother, and that's who he was waving at. A lot of times when people are near death, like this man in the wheelchair, he probably was near death, they can see things that we can't. The veil becomes very thin for them and very clear, and they can see things that we can't. A lot of times people, when they're dying, they see their ancestors or their friends in the room with them just before they pass. And they're there, I told you, they are there to help them pass on, to help them out, I guess, on their journey. But, but as far as reincarnation, there's no such thing as far as I'm concerned. You can't come back as a goat or an elephant or anything like that, and you can't come back as another person. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Your spirit has already had this body. It's already went through its trials and tribulations. The spirit is stronger for going through those things. And when you die, you move on, and you move on to a better thing. Most of the time, I hope you make better choices where you can move on to better things. But anyway, that's about all I can say about that.
So I'm going to ambush you one more time here, Alan. I swear I'll go gentle on you on this one. So there are some people out there who have been doing research on the reincarnation aspect that have studied. I think I read, or I even had someone report on one of my shows about 3,000 cases or something like that, where the children or whoever have actually revealed names and circumstances and, you know, all kinds of things at just incredibly young ages where they would never have known these people at all. And they reported, you know, being in, I don't know, the military, people flying, you know, pilots flying planes that were shot down and talking about their friends and all that. And so how do we understand that situation better when there's been so many reports or odd reports of these young teenagers to young children actually revealing details that they would never, ever, ever have known. How do we account for that then? Do you know?
Well, I've heard reports of little kids too knowing their grandparents before they even met them and stuff. How does that happen?
Hmm.
But the way I see it is, way I believe, and the way it was told to me is in the pre-existence. I told you before the show also that there is no time in the place where your father is at. Time to them, they have no use for time. And since there is no time, they can move through time. Not like we do. We can't move through time. They can move through time. And they can move through the history of the earth. And I actually think in the pre-existence, they can actually look over, say, their life to come, their physical life to come. And I also feel that they can look over maybe some other things in the history of the earth, and they can remember that, some of them. I have a memory of things that happened to me when I was real small. I have a very good memory, but I can't remember, you know, things that beforehand, you know, before I was born. But I feel that that's what happened to these people. They've experienced that in the pre-existence. They know people, they've been places and stuff like that, and they know those places and they know those people and everything because they were there in the pre-existence. And like I said, there's no time there. They can move freely through the history of the earth to whatever period they want to move into.
Interesting. Let's talk, since we've got about 5-6 minutes left of the show, I want to just touch on a couple of your books. The first one I wanted to talk about, well, first everyone should remember from the beginning that Alan is a healer, and he's got a book entitled At the Edge of Infinity, A Healer's Journey, and in this book he shares a number of stories. Maybe you could share a story or two quickly with that might bring some inspiration to people. Some of the gist of your book, Alan.
Okay. I received a phone call one day. My wife did. I lived north of Phoenix in Arizona at the time, and I lived in a rural community. There was only maybe 50 houses there, something like that. And we received a phone call one day, my wife did, from a friend of hers that lived a couple of streets over from us. And she wanted to know if I could go to the hospital and give her daughter a blessing. Her daughter was in a car accident the night before. Her daughter and her boyfriend was at a bar in the area. And this bar was located on a road that was very small, windy, and it had a lot of dips in it and everything. When they went to this bar in the course of the evening, they got into a fight. And the girl left and went out to the Jeep that they were driving. This Jeep didn't have any sides to it or a roof or anything. And her boyfriend came out also and jumped in the Jeep, and they started out, but they were still mad at each other, and being somewhat juvenile, I guess, immature, he was driving very fast on this road, and they came to a dip, and then at the top of this dip, it turned to the right very sharply, and the Jeep rolled over several times and threw her out. And she hit her head on the dirt. And anyway, they took her to the hospital. they have her on life support, and they said that she was actually brain dead, and she wanted to know if I could come in and give her a blessing, and I said, sure. So I called a friend of mine, and I went with him to the emergency room where they had her. At first, they weren't going to let me in, but then I told them the family had asked me to give their daughter a blessing, and I was lay clergy. And so anyway, they let me in, took me back to where she was at. I never seen anything like this before in my life. It didn't even look like she was laying in a bed. It was a contraption that looked more like a dentist chair or something, but she was sitting in a position where she was leaning back, and her legs was spread open on like supports that came off of this thing, and her arms were laid out also on these supports that came out from this contraption. But anyway, she had tubes and wires and everything else coming out of her, and I had a hard time. I like to use olive oil in the blessings that I give, and I had a hard time going back to the back of her because of all these machines that was around her to give anoint her head with this olive oil. I had my friend do it, and he finally made his way back there and anointed her with the olive oil. We had to put it on her forehead. That was about the only place that was available to us. But anyway, I usually have a set thing that I say or whatever when I perform these blessings. And I started to say that, and all of a sudden, my mind went blank. It was like somebody took an eraser to my mind and just wiped it blank. I didn't even know what my name was. And anyway, as I placed my hand upon her, the head, and it seemed like several minutes. But finally, the words came to me, and the words that I said was, I called her by name, and I told her to respond to treatment and therapy, and I closed it in the name of Jesus Christ. I commanded her to do that, and that's the only words that I said to her. And, you know, over the years, like I said, I'm 69 years old now, over the years, I've given many, many blessings, not only to humans, but to animals. And I found that about 50% of them is good. The other 50% usually is bad. They have no effect. And I found that if it's your time to go, you're going to go and you're going to pass on. But if it's not, I can usually help. Anyway, I got home that afternoon, and the next morning, the lady called my wife again and said that she was all crying and upset, said that the doctors was going to take her daughter off life support because she was brain dead and nothing was helping her. And I told my wife, I said, tell her to tell the doctors to go ahead and take her off life support because she don't need it, because she's not going to die. Because I had a good feeling when I gave this blessing. And sure enough, when they did that, she lived. And the last time I heard, she married that guy, I guess, that she had to fight with. They moved to California, and they have 3 or 4 kids now.
Hmm.
So there's a power out there, Kelly, that you could tap into, you know, if you know how. But anyway, that's that story.
You know, I'm going to probably have you back to have one specific show on your book called My Destination for the Truth, because in this book you have a number of different topics that I think everyone would be very interested in hearing about. So just stay tuned for another time, Alan. I'm going to have you back. Unfortunately, very, very interesting show tonight. Thank you so much, Alan, for just being on this show and giving us some of your insights, your abilities as a passive medium. This really does allow all of us a greater understanding of how you know, not just you see the world, but can validate the world that many of us see around us. And it also gives us a little bit of comfort in knowing that at the point of our passing, there is actually another side, and it sounds like a better side, in which a lot of us will obviously go to. So I just want to thank you, Alan, for being my guest.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or ParaX Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, ParaX Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.